Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
Well, it's nice to have Tom Brady back in our fantasy lives. Welcome to the show, everybody. Fantasy Football Today on Monday, October 10th. Recapping Week 5. Do I sound like a guy who just had his bachelor party over the weekend?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering.
A little bit,
that'll,
right?
That'll be me. That'll be me. Actually, I'm not going to be here next Monday.
You're having another bachelor party?
I'm going out on a bachelor party, yeah.
Ah, cool.
Let's shout out to Mike.
We were having this talk, and this was like a first world problem that Azer had this morning. And he was talking about how his bachelor party was cut a little bit short.
Oh, no.
A little bit.
It was only Friday through early Sunday.
Well, it was really like Friday at like 3 o'clock p.m. Until Saturday night. Everybody left on Sunday.
I may not make it back from this one because I'm leaving here at 7 in the morning
on
Friday morning, going to New Orleans. So our flight lands at 8 in the morning in New Orleons, and I don't come back until 11 p.m. on Monday.
That's what I'm saying. See, most bachelor parties are like weekend.
No, everybody else is leaving on Sunday. It's just it was like $80 cheaper to fly back on Monday.
That's not most bachelor parties, though.
Dude, no, you go like to the casino, win $80 and come back on Sunday.
More than half of all bachelor parties are like one night.
Yeah, mine was one night.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a lot of out-of-towners, you know?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. Nobody wants to hear about that. People want to hear about the absolute real bonanza curse. I don't even know what to say at this point. It is getting a little bit scary. A lot of injuries and some tremendous performances from guys like Cameron Meredith, Adam Thielen, Tyrell Williams, Sammy Coates, our winners and losers from Fantasy Week 5 as we get ready for Monday Night Football tonight. I thought yesterday was pretty cool, pretty fun day. I want to start talking about the top three players at each position yesterday. Fantasy points scored. We don't have to talk about every guy. Let's just get some quick hits here. Your top three quarterbacks from Sunday. Ben Roethlisberger, 37 fantasy points. He's been unbelievable this year. Marcus Mariota, 54% owned, 36 fantasy points, and actually first game with more than 22 rushing yards. And welcome back, Tom Brady. 3 touchdowns, 406 yards, 35 fantasy points. Heath Cummings, what do you think about the top three quarterbacks?
Great to have Brady back. Marcus Mariota doesn't really matter. It's against the Dolphins, and I'm just mad at you guys for convincing me to rank Dolphins too high again this year. They're awful. They're a garbage franchise. It's an embarrassment to football.
I think it's, you know, disappointing it took until week five for Tom Brady to have his first good fantasy game.
I know. This was definitely his best game of the year.
What was he waiting for?
Yeah. That was impressive. I did think there'd be a little bit of rust. I mean, certainly it was starting him. But,
it's the Browns.
I mean, the best part about it was I spent the morning criticizing the Chris Hogan fantasy hype. And, of course, he hit two long plays in the first half.
What's going to be kind of challenging is evaluating the Patriots based on this game. Because, like, Gronkowski obviously is going to be amazing. Edelman had the worst game.
Yeah.
And he's the one I would expect to be their second best performer in the passing game. And then what do you think about Martellus Bennett? Chris Hogan's like 50% owned and has to be picked up.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to expect week in, week out. It's a lot of mouths to feed for the Patriots.
That's exactly it. Look at it like week one of the fantasy season. How many things happened in week one of the fantasy season that we thought were real and then didn't end up being?
None. We said all the things weren't real.
That's how I tend to view specifically Chris Hogan and Martellus Bennett's performances. It wouldn't surprise me if those were each of their best games of the season.
Oh, fantasy point wise, I'm sure Hogan, since he didn't score
a touchdown. Hogan will have a 50-yard, one touchdown game at some point. But in terms of overall production, I don't expect him to be 100 yards or even close to that most games. He was only targeted 5 times.
But he got hurt. I don't know how many plays he missed, actually, if you want to, we can look that up.
It was relatively late, I think.
Okay. What do you think? Just general thoughts. Obviously, we're not doubting the Patriots offense. We know they're going to be great. But what do you think the distribution will be like?
I mean, Gronk's a must start. I'm still going to put Edelman as a wide receiver 2 in PPR. Hogan's going to be one of those boom or bust flexish players. And Bennett's really the same.
Hogan played 61% of their snaps.
Right. Edelman played 74%. Yep. So he played 10 less snaps than Edelman, 6 fewer snaps than Bennett.
And I will say, like, the Browns made a point almost to an absurd degree of double covering Rob Gronkowski once they got in the red zone. Like they were lining two guys up on top of him basically. And then, you know, once he was running his routes, there was basically one guy on top, one guy under him. So maybe every team will do that. to the degree that the Browns did.
He'll still score.
I don't know if Martellus Bennett's going to outscore Rob Gronkowski moving forward. I would guess not.
Is Bennett a sell-high candidate? Are people going to be buying into it? Well, actually, why don't we put it this way? Is he a top five tight end?
No.
Jimmy Graham or Martellus Bennett?
Graham.
Ertz or Bennett? You guys like Ertz better than Graham, right? Ertz over Graham? I'd probably take Graham, but
I would be looking to trade both Bennett and Hogan after this game because it's like week one, except people aren't going to think about it like it's week one.
See, I'm going to pick up Hogan. He's 50% owned, right around there. I still think you could do the same. You could sell and pick up, depending on what type of league you're in. But the guy's going to be a hot waiver wire ad. All right, your top three running backs: David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Tevin Coleman, who is a winner for Heath. One thing on Ezekiel Elliott, he's gotten better every single game.
Yeah.
And he is the first running back to rush for 100 yards against the Bengals in 18 games. They had 17 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. Ezekiel Elliott breaks that streak at Green Bay next week. Best run defense in the NFL. That should be an awesome game. I cannot wait for Dallas at Green Bay. Tevin Coleman, one of your winners, Heath.
Yeah, and I think the thing for me, like, the way he did this still doesn't seem entirely sustainable. Kudos to the Atlanta Falcons coaching staff for coming up with this plan that, you know what, we can't probably run on them very well. We can't throw on their corner. So let's send our running backs out wide and beat their linebackers in coverage. And it worked brilliantly. I mean, according to the notes here, he had 1,332 receiving yards.
Is that what
game.
I said?
And
oh, wow.
That's got to be a record.
So what, did he have 132 or 133?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Does I put an extra three or
133.
The
biggest thing for me, though, is we've kind of seen him over the last couple games start to take more and more of a backseat to Devontae Freeman. And I didn't think early in the year when he had five catches in week one, I thought that was a bit of a fluke. He had two or three each of the next 3 weeks. To see him get more involved and have success
he
did. That's
one more than two or three.
Twice as many as two.
Sure.
Double
and only
catches.
One away from what he had in week one.
I still think he's an obvious sell high candidate.
Coleman?
Yeah.
I tweeted that he's going to be frustrating for fantasy owners.
Yeah, he's a borderline number two running back.
But the response I got from most people was like, no, he's a must start.
Yeah, see, no, if people view him that way, I think you should absolutely look at
Tevin Coleman or Jerick McKinnon?
Dude, they lost another offensive lineman.
Yeah, the Vikings cannot.
Fusco.
The Vikings cannot run block.
Because I think McKinnon's a buy low.
I might have to go with Tevin Coleman just because nobody has been able to run the ball for
and
the Vikings.
See, Jerick McKinnon is basically the quintessential borderline number two running back. So if we're saying that Tevin Coleman's a number two running back,
it depends. Do I already have two running backs I feel good about? Like in one of my leagues,
I've got
Carlos Hyde and Christian Michael. I feel pretty good about starting those guys every single week.
I don't know that it should matter. We're 5 weeks in.
No, because Tevin Coleman, I think, is a higher upside play. I think he's clearly a better player than Jerick McKinnon, playing in a much better offense.
I don't know.
Definitely agree
in
a better offense.
In a better offense for sure.
I know.
But I'm a believer in McKinnon. I really am.
I know we all are. I'm not sure why.
Well, he's been good when he's had the chance. This year's struggled, but
he's had lots of chances this year. He's been dreadful.
No, I mean, he was very good last week against the Giants. And he was involved in the passing game. He had a great game. He showed what he could do. Maybe it's too soon to have a real judgment on Jerick McKinnon. That's probably fair, but, I think he's going to get more touches than Tevin Coleman.
I think McKinnon and Coleman are right there together at the end of the number two running back tier. And the difference is that you can probably go out today and buy McKinnon for running back three value.
I think they're on a buy this week.
And you could
they?
Possibly sell Coleman for borderline running back one value.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time starting Tevin Coleman every week.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to look up. Minnesota is on a bye this week along with Tampa Bay. Well, in week six anyway. So that's something you have to consider. Wide receivers, your top wide receivers this week. Matt Asiata did get a one-yard touchdown run, which is something that's going to frustrate Jerick McKinnon.
He was better than Jerick McKinnon in this game.
He was. McKinnon struggled, no doubt. All right, Coates is 67% owned. He had a huge game, 11 targets, 6 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns against a terrible Jets pass defense that did not have Darrelle Revis. But Coates also dropped a touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger said that, you know, he's got confidence in Sammy Coates. He knows he's going to make mistakes. They're willing to overlook it. And he did make mistakes in this game. Also, T.Y. Hilton was number two. And Amari Cooper. Welcome to the show, Amari Cooper. Broke out a little
bit. Your new favorite receiver.
Mine?
Yes. Why? He has to be.
Why?
He had four almost touchdowns yesterday.
Oh, he did.
He caught,
I remember
he,
two. He, they caught out of bounds.
He caught four passes in the end zone.
Four?
With it, yes. Two of them, it was ruled that he didn't get a second foot down.
Those I remember.
One of them was a touchdown. And then his last one was the crazy play where he's running along the back of the end zone.
Oh,
he
gets
interfered with and pushed out of bounds, comes back inbounds and catches the ball. They call the pass interference, but say he hadn't reestablished back. Four almost touchdowns, Azer.
Who else got the almost? Yeah, Jacob Tammy almost had a touchdown. I'm going to make
a second. Jacob Tammy got stopped at the goal line. Yeah, that's exactly why I was not concerned about Amari Cooper.
Because of all those almost touchdowns?
No, because Derek Carr doesn't trust him in the red zone. Michael Crabtree is the guy. Seth Roberts had three touchdowns in the first four games.
But
if Seth Roberts isn't going to catch three touchdowns for every one that Amari Cooper.
He also had a 2-point conversion.
He did have a 2-point conversion. And
he's their 2-point conversion guy.
He is. But there was a moment. No, Cooper. There was a moment in the game. It was like fourth and two, I think. I think this was their game winning touchdown, and it was the Crabtree touchdown. And the announcer, you know, astutely said when Derek Carr needs a play, he goes to Michael Crabtree. Which is not a knock on Cooper. It's more of he really likes Michael Crabtree. I think you could take some solace in that if you're a Crabtree owner. He had another touchdown. But Coates, guys, is he a winner for one of you?
Absolutely, yeah. He's the number one. He's the number one target on the waiver wire for me.
Yes, right. He looks awesome. Doesn't he?
And we'll bring he dropped some passes. He has four drops on the season according to Pro Football Focus. Might be before this game, but. Martavis Bryant had trouble catching the ball last season. Nobody was concerned about Martavis Bryant having 11 drops on 88 targets last year, right? Like that's not something that we ever brought up.
I don't care about drops.
Yeah, I just
in fantasy, they're overrated.
Like and the thing about a player like Martavis Bryant, a player like Sammy Coates is they're high variance plays anyway. Sammy Coates has basically given us what we hoped Martavis Bryant would. He finally got his first touchdown, but he's at 80 yards per game. He's the big play guy in the Steelers offense. He's the deep threat. I think he's the Martavis Bryant replacement. I think he absolutely needs to be owned, and I think he can be a low-end wide receiver too.
Coates is 67% owned. I'm mad at myself for not seeing this, or at least not speculating on
it
and not owning him before this week. It's probably going to be a little bit too late.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think I added him in two leagues last week. I kind of started noticing the catch volume, the target volume that he's had recently. I don't care about the drops. Like Ben Roethlisberger is probably the best deep passer in the NFL, and in terms of both volume and accuracy, and this is the guy he's going to throw deep to a lot.
They are at Miami next week, and that could be pretty awesome. By the way, Hard Rock Stadium is so... Have you been to it?
No.
It's great. That was one of the lamest stadiums.
Yeah.
And now they renovated it, and they you know, made like a canopy, so it kind of holds the noise in. It's kind of like sort of Seattle-like. It's awesome. Good for them. They finally have a good stadium.
And you're not
down here.
Dying?
No.
When you're in
you
there?
Are. This is the thing. It holds
no
the heat in. I was there on Saturday night for the second worst loss I've ever seen in person in my life. Oh, my God. Horrible. And we were so hot, and it was a night game. But it's a really cool
stadium. I don't think I'll probably ever go.
You should go. I'm sure go for a Hurricanes game. The Dolphins suck. Go to Hurricanes game.
The Hurricanes go.
Come on. Martellus Bennett is the number one tight end this week. Hunter Henry. All right, there was a moment. He's number two, and Delanie Walker, number three. Obviously, we're going to talk about Henry. There was a moment in the game. It was a Phillip Rivers touchdown. They got Antonio Gates split out wide by himself on the right. They got Hunter Henry out on the left with one other receiver. They're both split out, though. And Gate and Rivers takes a snap. He looks at Gates, looks for like a second or two. Gates isn't open, comes back to his left side. Hunter Henry's wide open, scores a touchdown. And I'm like, please, let that be the passing of the torch. Realize that Hunter Henry is a
much
better
player.
But then
Gates scored a touchdown later in the game.
He did.
Yeah.
But Hunter Henry had a much better game, and Gates did fumble. But all right, he's 64% owned. What do you think about Hunter Henry? They were not afraid, just like the Patriots, to put two tight ends out on the field at the same time.
I'm so frustrated because this is what it looks like with Antonio Gates on a snap count. But he got four targets. That's not
Henry?
Yeah, that's not enough to be sustainable, and it's probably getting worse when Skate's 100%. I've seen enough from this kid in 3 weeks that if Gates were to go down for another 3 or 4 weeks, I can't imagine Henry not being a top five tight end every week. He'd it's be top weird. Five rest of season if Gates was out for the year.
We don't get this from rookie tight ends.
No,
often.
He's ready.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm not dropping him, but I'm not going to feel good. I benched him in a league this week, and I guess
but there's so many tight ends that you could say the same thing about.
Right.
Like, so many people are starting Kyle Rudolph. I feel like Kyle Rudolph is like the perfect tight end to compare everyone to. It's just like, if he catches a touchdown, he's good.
Well,
otherwise,
but he's been a little bit different with Rudolph because he's gotten a lot of targets. He's
sure.
been the number two guy for Bradford. There are a lot of mouths to feed. Rivers had a great game, fantasy-wise. You know, Tyrell Williams had a big game.
Philip Rivers has been awesome this year.
Not in fantasy production.
Okay, well, in terms of actual play, he's been outstanding.
I think he's had two big games. The Jacksonville game, he had four touchdowns.
He had
the one game
against Indy where he didn't score, but he had 326 yards.
Yeah.
He's been really good.
I mean, I think
he has been good.
I think he's the number three fantasy quarterback right now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Roethlisberger, Ryan.
Rivers.
Really?
That's pretty good.
And he might be tied with Andrew Luck.
Then I'm not even going to qualify. Philip Rivers has been awesome. Chris is really smart. Yeah, he is. He's a couple. Yeah, he's right there.
Luck. Can we transition Andrew Luck real quick?
See, that's the opposite. Andrew Luck's been terrible. And
well,
for the standards that we expected, but he's been good for fantasy.
But he hasn't been good enough. He hasn't really justified it. I don't think they started playing faster this game. And that is really the only time that Andrew Luck's been good. I heard Pete Prisco talk about this on the Roughing the Passer podcast. They get down in the fourth quarter and the Colts finally say, all right, we're going no huddle. We're speeding it up. And that's when he's getting all of his production. They did that a little bit more, according to what I read anyway, in this week five game. And Luck had a good game. I think when Moncrief comes back, he's going to be a lot better, but I'm just still like a little disappointed. It's like you have to scratch and claw to get those 22 to 25 fantasy points for Andrew Luck. I think he had 25 or 26.
Point out the breaking news.
What happened?
The Ravens have fired their offensive coordinator, Mark Trestman, and replaced him with Marty Morningweg.
Marty Morningweg. Everything is about to get
according
better
to
in
Adam
Baltimore.
They just don't throw the ball downfield. What's his yards per attempt?
Joe Flacco's been so bad.
He made a really nice throw to Prashad Perryman over Josh Norman.
For the touchdown? That wasn't.
The almost touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. Prashad Perryman had the best almost touchdown of the season. Jordan Howard had a touchdown callback. Jay Ajayi had a touchdown callback. These are your almost touchdowns brought to you by Fantasy Football Today. All right, what about these guys before we get into the big news and a lot more from week five? Tyrell Williams is 74% owned. 5 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown with 6 targets. His first game with more than 71 receiving yards. That's Tyrell Williams. Cameron Meredith, 2% owned. 9 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown on 12 targets. And 2 fumbles, including a key fumble late. And Adam Thielen, 7 catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown. He's 1% owned on 8 targets with Stephon Diggs out. And the Texans, by the way, in that game, they were without a quarterback to start. A cornerback.
Yeah, cornerback.
They lost 1 cornerback and a safety, so they were down 3 members of their secondary at one point in that game in Minnesota, who I love. They're my new favorite team, by the way. You think I'm a Giants fan, I'm now a Vikings fan. I want you all to know that.
Cameron Meredith is the guy that I'm picking up out of this group.
You like him better than Tyrell Williams?
I don't know if I like any of the Chargers wide receivers at this point. They're all so similar that it's just like, who's going to have a good game this week? You know, it's been basically a different guy every week. Tyrell Williams, I guess, is the first one who's done it twice, but I think Cameron Meredith, he fits the Bears mold. They have a type when it comes to wide receiver. They want big wide receivers with big catch radiuses. He's 6'3". He's got a big catch radius. Alshon Jeffrey hasn't been great. Brian Hoyer doesn't seem to like throwing it to him.
You saw the end of the game?
No.
So this is what happened. Did you see the end of the game?
Oh, when Alshon was like wide open.
Wide open for the game-winning touchdown, and he threw it to Barrett.
And Brian Hoyer, after the game, said, I saw him. I should have thrown it. And it's like, what's going on here?
Do you think now, he's got like 6-7 targets a game, Alshon Jeffrey. Do you think now it's a
yes,
like,
maybe. At least 5 times during that game, Alshon threw his hands up wide open on the other side of the field.
No, Alshon's great.
Squeaky wheel is coming this week. Squeaky wheel.
I'm definitely guaranteed. I'm not saying Cameron Meredith is the number one wide receiver in Chicago, but they're going to have to throw a lot.
Alshon's having an Amari Cooper game this week.
That's fine.
Let me ask you this. What is the difference? You know, you mentioned the Charger situation, and we can just say that Thielen was a product of Diggs being out, so it's probably tied to that. But what's the difference between the Charger situation and the Bears? Because it's been Eddie Royal twice.
I don't think Eddie Royal is going to continue doing this. I think there's Eddie Royal's a slot receiver.
He's going to do it one more week.
Sure, he might have two.
It's Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
But with San Diego, I think those three guys are all the same.
See, I think they were looking at the tape before this game, and David Amerson was the highest rated coverage corner according to Pro Football Focus.
But what
they noticed was that he would bite on the double move, I think. And so they were talking to Philip Rivers and said, you better call Tyrell.
Call him. Was he still the number one going into this week? Because I know he was going into week four.
He was coming because I wrote about him.
He was awful in this game.
He was terrible.
Yeah, that was strange to see. All right, so the big news. Now, look, we called Sammy Coates the hot waiver wire guy this week, right? 67% owned. What about James Starks? Would you rather pick up James Starks? Eddie Lacy, no idea what the severity is. That was the Sunday
night game.
I don't
think it's severe at all.
All right, he left with an ankle injury. He had like 11 carries for 80 yards.
He's been great this season. He just hasn't had the work. If the injury looked bad enough to force him to miss this week, James Starks automatically moves to the top because he's a running back with a pulse.
And he's got the Cowboys coming into town.
That's...
All right, you know who actually my number one waiver wire pickup might be? Tony Romo. 17% owned.
But I didn't think he was getting his job back.
He's getting his job back. They've
confirmed
it. Dak
Prescott's winning.
Lock and Fora wrote about this on Sunday. They've run a very stripped down version of the offense for Dak Prescott.
Of course they have.
Done very well. But we go back to 2 years ago. This is the same Cowboys team.
It would be so stupid for them not to start Tony Romo. He's so good.
They are starting. Jerry Jones said it.
Yeah.
Lock and Fora reported it. They're starting
him. Jerry Jones always says exactly what's going to happen.
They're starting him. Come on. He should be back in a few weeks. And, Dez Bryant will be back. Romo's 17% owned. You don't want to wait too long. He was the number 8 quarterback in fantasy with the 23rd most pass attempts in 15 games in 2014.
Who's on bye next week?
Minnesota and Tampa Bay.
Okay. I don't mind. I'm not really hanging on to Sam Bradford or Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston if I have them. So, yeah.
But my point is he had his best season. He could have been an MVP. His passer rating was amazing. Their offensive line is just so good. Tyron Smith is back, and they're bullying teams, and Prescott's taking advantage. Romo's going to do the same. Jeremy Hill left with a chest injury. He's definitely a loser this week. Giovanni Bernard started that game, Heath. Gio's one of your winners, or Hill's one of your losers? I don't remember.
Sure. Yes. Team Gio has life again. He had almost 100 total yards in this game with a pretty terrible game script. Now, he did get a little more work than was expected because Hill left with the injury, but they were pretty much throwing at that point anyway. Listen, Jeremy Hill's been bad this year. He was bad last year. I don't see any reason for the Bengals to do anything with Jeremy Hill except for use him as a short yardage back. He's the second best running back they have. He should no longer get the majority of carries.
And he only had 4 carries before he got hurt in the third quarter,
I don't think he had a carry in the first quarter.
It's possible. Maybe they're sending a message. But you're right.
I think they received
he's one of my
a message
favorites
that he's not very good.
He's averaging 3.6 yards per carry since the start of the 2015 season.
Bernard hadn't really had a good yards per carry this year before yesterday. And I don't remember how he did exactly yesterday.
Yeah, but no,
the Bengals offense overall doesn't look great.
He was much better last year at 4.7, but this year he's only 3.5.
It's definitely not good for Jeremy Hill owners and sucks for me.
But he's on pace for 75 catches.
Steve Smith left with an ankle injury. They're at the Giants next week. Buffalo ran a play. I don't know if you saw this one, in which Tyrod Taylor, we had the headline was like, Buffalo runs the worst play ever. Tyrod Taylor is lined up in the shotgun behind the left guard. And LeSean McCoy is next to him on his left, behind the left tackle. Yeah. There's nobody behind the center. The center snaps the ball to nobody. I don't think I've ever seen that. That was amazing. Absolutely horrible play. And as I mentioned, the Bonanza curse is real. You guys probably don't even know who I Bonanza this week. Dude.
No, I do. I get freaking tweets about it. I wish you would stop.
You want to take a guess?
Clogging up my timeline.
Washington, Baltimore.
Packers, Giants. Washington, Baltimore was up there, but that game had crazy wind, so I can maybe blame that. I don't get it. The Packers were down their top 2 cornerbacks, and their second one is bad to begin with. The Giants, started the game with all three of their cornerbacks. In the first quarter, two of them left and didn't come back. There's no reason this game shouldn't have been more high scoring. If Will Tye catches that touchdown, things look a lot better. That was a long touchdown. Not a great throw, but should have been a touchdown and a pathetic performance last night. But both teams, I can't say the Packers were pathetic. They won, but their offense, you know what happened? ESPN wrote about this. They came out on their first drive. They had different personnel on pretty much every play. You know, because their basic personnel is three receivers, one tight end, one running back. They came out, they mixed everything up, they got creative. They had like an eight minute drive, scored a touchdown. Might have even been more than that. The rest of the game, they were pretty much in their basic three wide receiver, one tight end, one running back set, and they were bad. And Rodgers threw two interceptions at home, which is a major rarity. And I can't stand Mike McCarthy. Like, mix it up. They're so boring. And Aaron Rodgers with, I think, 18 fantasy points, something like that. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How disappointing the offense has been.
Yeah. And I wrote about this in the 10 Things to Know article this week. I was shocked to see a tweet from, I think it was the NFL's new stats account.
Giants?
Aaron Rodgers has been terrible in primetime.
Nah.
For like a year and a half.
Oh, but.
For 2 years.
Well, he's just been mediocre for like a year now.
I kind of throw out last year, but this was a very surprising.
Well, this is his second bad game in primetime this year.
Yeah.
What was the Vikings?
The Vikings, yeah.
I don't care. I don't think it matters when the game starts.
You just think Aaron Rodgers is what he was 2 years ago and nothing since then matters?
No, that's not what I said. I think he's been mediocre since the start of last season.
Okay.
Well, what do you think this year? Because, look, he came out against Detroit and they looked like the Packers, right? They played great and they mixed up their formations and they were creative and they were awesome. And the truth of the matter is, Lacy was on his way to a great game, right? 11 carries for 80 yards. Davante Adams had a good game. Jordy Nelson at least caught a touchdown, got you, I think, 9 fantasy points in standard. Randall Cobb had a good game. It wasn't that bad. It just wasn't.
I'm disappointed that Randall Cobb had a good game because that just muddies the water. Whoa. That just muddies the water. I was ready to, I was pretty much ready to pull the plug on Randall Cobb.
Matchup.
And, yeah, he had a good game. It's disappointing. Last 16 games, Aaron Rodgers, we're looking at full season now. 6.3 yards per attempt is awful. 3,700 yards, 29 touchdowns is pretty good, but he just looks like a fairly run-of-the-mill quarterback over his last season. And that's
we can't buy that. I mean, we know he's better than that, right?
Yes.
All right, rest of season, Brady or Rodgers?
Man.
Brady.
I'm fine with it.
I think I kind of have to go with Brady, yeah.
Who else? What? Give me your top three quarterbacks rest of season.
He's probably still...
Let's say Cam comes back next week.
Cam is number one.
All right.
Brady, Rodgers... I don't know. It's been a not great season for the top flight quarterbacks.
Roethlisberger? Ryan?
Roethlisberger's so up and down. Matt Ryan looked good against the Broncos.
I can't put Ryan there. He's just never done that.
I'll go Cam, Brady, Breeze.
Okay, yeah.
Drew Brees, forgot about him. Yeah. Okay. Guys, I remember how frustrating it used to be to buy tickets online. I used to go to 3 or 4 websites to look for tickets to the same event. I used to put ads on Craigslist. It was ridiculous. You know, it was inefficient. SeatGeek has come along. They've created an amazing app and website that makes it much easier, easier than ever, for fans to buy and sell tickets. Now, SeatGeek is now the only place I go for tickets. Download the app right now. Just give it a shot. Our promo code is FFT. You're going to want to enter that. We're going to save you $20 on your first purchase. The promo code, again, is FFT, as in fantasy football today. SeatGeek does all the work for you. Stop doing the work. Let SeatGeek search multiple websites. Pull in all the tickets. You can decide what works best for you. SeatGeek is going to help. They're going to rank all the tickets based on value. So just, you know, give it a shot. You're going to see what we're talking about. I know you're going to love SeatGeek. We all use it. And you should as well. And our listeners, they get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FFT, as in fantasy football today, FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. We've talked a lot about our winners and losers. Heath, Sir Martellus Bennett, and Tevin Coleman. Chris has Sammy Coates, and here's one we haven't talked about. Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, there was a lot of concern about Ryan Matthews potentially losing his job to Wendell Smallwood. And That didn't happen. Now, Ryan Matthews did not lead the Eagles in snaps at running back. Darren Sproles still did, but we know what Darren Sproles' role is, and now we know what Ryan Matthews is. We know Wendell Smallwood played one snap yesterday. KenJohn Barner played one snap. Thanks, Heath.
Yeah, what happened there, Heath?
There was an interesting point in that game when Darren Sproles was leading the Eagles in rushing and Ryan Matthews was leading the Eagles in receiving. And as it ended up, Matthews still led running backs in catches and receiving yards and caught a touchdown pass. And Sproles led the team in rushing yards.
And that touchdown pass that Matthews caught was on first and goal from the one, I think. Yeah. And he was in the game. He was going to...
He's the goal linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question.
My two losers, actually, two of my three losers, but one I grouped into one, were KenJohn Barner and Kenneth... Not KenJohn Barner, but Wendell Smallwood and Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah.
They got a combined five snaps. So far, the Dixon one made sense. You know, he's coming back from the injury. But Smallwood one didn't. I don't think it made sense to any of us. So we kept saying, what's so bad about Ryan Matthews?
Yeah.
He did fumble, though. And he still, it was under 4 yards per carry this game, wasn't he?
Yeah, right under. He was a 3.8. He had 11 carries for 42 yards. But my point is mostly, look, if Ryan Matthews gets 16 touches every game, I'm happy with Ryan Matthews. And then there was concern that he was going to lose his job. And for me, that's all it was, is that the Barner Smallwood talk is gone. It was a 1 week thing. As long as Ryan Matthews stays healthy, which, don't have amnesia, don't forget the name Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah.
Because Ryan Matthews is probably going to miss a game at some point.
You going to drop Smallwood for Chris Hogan?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the Matthews owner?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And my winner's Jordan Howard. It's actually tough for me to pick winners today. You guys kind of took the good ones. Jordan Howard.
So sorry.
I'm going to find out a lot about Jordan Howard. His next three matchups are not good. Four, really, because he's got a bye in 4 weeks. Jacksonville, actually, their run defense, I'm not sure. Their defense overall has been solid this year at Green Bay and then Minnesota.
I would just, the one thing I would point out is that in 2015 through the first three, from 2015, the entire season through the first three games of 2016, the Bears had one 100-yard game. That was Matt Forte in week one of 2015. Jordan Howard has two in the last two.
Jordan Howard forced 9 missed tackles yesterday. Jeremy Lankervert forced 10 last year.
I mean, the thing is, sometimes you want to look at these guys and just talk about matchups. And maybe, you know, Terrence West is another guy, right? Two good games in a row good matchups. We can get a little matchup crazy.
I think sometimes we get it. Like, I think Terrence West is the kind of guy that you worry about matchups with. Jordan Howard's starting to look like, with the workload that he's had, with how good he's looked, he might be one of those guys that you just probably want to start. Maybe not against Minnesota because they've been so good.
Not against Minnesota.
But, I don't know, you might not have any running backs that are better.
Minnesota, by the way, new favorite team. Not sure if I...
That's your new favorite team.
Yeah.
7 minutes ago.
Sucks for Vikings.
I know, I'll say it again, another 7 minutes. it's bad news.
Bad news for Vikings fans.
It's actually a really bad schedule. Jacksonville, they're okay defensively. That hasn't really been their problem, but it's Jacksonville... At Green Bay, Minnesota, a bye. At Tampa Bay,
Bay's good
at the Giants.
The Giants have been good against
them. Yeah,
I
know.
Giants are like so-so, right? I mean, they're not...
No, I think they're pretty good.
They've been good against the run this season, I'm pretty sure.
They should be. I mean, their defensive line is very good against the run. Last night was tough for them. You know, that was a short week. Monday night, two straight road games, Monday night to Sunday night. That's kind of a tough situation. They struggled.
I don't know. Jordan Howard seems like one of the few running backs that you can feel pretty confident he's going to get the touches. Now it's only two games, and you know who knows how much that'll keep up. But he looks really good.
And my other winner was Chris Hogan, who's 47% owned. Jeremy Hill was one of Heath's losers. Who was the other one that we decided on?
Well, first it was going to be Michael Floyd, but you censored me. So
I'm ready. I'm ready to drop Michael Floyd.
We talked about it on Friday.
He's their number.
I was going to update the standings.
He's been their number four wide receiver. Each of the last two games, it's really bad. I think you're going to win that bet. I'll go buy you your growler now. It's a good thing we didn't put much on it.
Right. The other one was Sterling Shepard, because I just decided to choose a Giant since you wouldn't let me have Michael Floyd.
Thank you.
And I just wonder if we got a little too excited after 2 or 3 weeks about this Giants passing attack. That should have been the perfect scenario for Sterling Shepard to have success last night.
You know it's my fault.
And he was not good at all.
Yeah, bonanza.
No, I don't think it's just your fault, though. I mean, he's really had... He scored a couple touchdowns and had one really good game in five. He's a rookie wide receiver, probably the fourth best rookie wide receiver at this point for fantasy. Maybe third.
Will Fuller?
Definitely I'd rather have Will Fuller. I'd rather have Michael Thomas.
No. Because
much better offense.
But we don't. Yeah, it's not. First of all right.
Michael Thomas could be the fifth option in the passing game on any given week.
Why would we think that at this point when he leads the team in receptions?
Because he was worthless in the first 3 weeks, and then Willie Snead.
No, I don't think he was worthless in the first 3 weeks. Unless we're saying Sterling Shepard's been worthless most weeks.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
I would say he's been worthless the last two.
Who, Shepard?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Thomas. Thomas wasn't good until Willie Snead got hurt. Oh yeah. No, I'm sorry. It was 2 weeks. They've only played four games. So it was 2 weeks, and then Snead got hurt. He had a huge game. Snead came back, and Thomas still had the big game. So it's
I think
a
we're putting too much weight into touchdowns.
I think they're both right there.
He's basically been the same guy almost every week: 6 for 58, 4 for 56, 7 for 71, 4 for 44.
Right.
He scored touchdowns.
So you would say he's had one.
He hasn't been very
good.
So
you'd say he's
had. That's basically Sterling Shepard every week except for one game.
You'd say he's had one good week.
All right. I mean, that's a fair criticism of Sterling Shepard. I think, you know, Giants offense in general, it was a big loser yesterday. And people are asking, should I drop Eli Manning? Eli Manning's garbage. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction, honestly. Last year, they were eighth in total yards. And going into this game, they were something like sixth in total yards and like 25th in scoring, something like that. So it was a major touchdown regression situation. Now they're like 18th in total yards because they were absolutely horrible. The other problem with the Giants, they have the second to worst time of possession in the NFL. They're not getting turnovers. That's hurting them. They're staying on the field too long defensively. So I personally think the Giants offense, you look at them, eighth in total yards last year, and they have a much better offense than they did last year. They just do. Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz are upgrades over Reuben Randall and Dwayne Harris. So I expect them to at least be as good as they were last year. And that means Eli Manning is absolutely not somebody that you want to drop. I was expecting a big game. It didn't happen. I still think he could be good going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Manning, he's a kind of fringy quarterback.
He's Philip Rivers. I mean,
you can drop him.
You could, but you don't have to.
Like,
it's not bad.
I was able to pick up Matt Ryan on waivers in one league like 2 weeks ago. It's okay to drop quarterbacks sometimes.
Okay, I can appreciate that, but you don't have that.
Yeah,
they
he's
don't
not
stink.
Must drop.
You don't have to drop.
But if you want to spite drop him, it's okay.
All right, other losers: DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard for Chris.
Yeah, this was the big opportunity, and they combined for 54 rushing yards on 17 carries behind probably the second best offensive line in football. They did not look good in this game. They were both active in the passing game. Jalen Richard especially had 66 yards on six catches, but this was the opportunity for them to, I think fantasy owners would have expected them to bury Latavius Murray, and I don't think that happened.
Heath dropped Latavius Murray on Saturday night.
I didn't have a starting running back.
Yeah, I wanted to pick him up.
I mean,
quite badly.
I traded for Latavius Murray last week. It wasn't a trade for Latavius Murray. It was a trade for Amari Cooper, and Latavius Murray was involved.
Go Raiders.
Yeah, I gave up Melvin Gordon and Tajae Sharpe for Amari Cooper and Latavius Murray, and then I tried to trade for DeAndre Washington. I actually offered someone Dante Moncrief for DeAndre Washington. I thought that was a good trade. He didn't go for it. I don't feel that bad now.
I would have taken that in a second.
That guy's a putz. I thought he should have.
You know who the biggest winner is?
Who?
The people that decided they were going to wait one more week to sell Melvin Gordon, because it almost looked like at halftime you'd shot yourself in the foot by holding him. Go sell him right now.
Why?
Like, it's the most important thing.
Why?
He's been awful.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
He's not good.
Yes. The touchdowns.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Who are they going to catch? Who are they going to give the ball to?
Come on. He's not good.
He's been a top 10 running back this year.
Yeah.
So far.
He's probably been top five.
Maybe
right?
top five. He's top 20, probably. Maybe top 25 rest of year.
I just think it's opportunity.
He's catching
the ball.
He's faced Jacksonville.
He had one target and one catch yesterday.
It was a touchdown.
Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Oakland, and New Orleans in his last four games, and he's averaging 3.4 yards per carry.
He ran right into the line of scrimmage a lot yesterday.
I'm not saying he's a great player.
It's a Jordan Howard thing. You don't get guys that get this much workload that often.
He's not as good as Jordan Howard.
He's in a better offense.
You don't get guys that get this much workload that often. There aren't many running backs that average 3.4 yards per carry for their career. That's bad.
It's not the longest career yet.
It's 19 games. It's 273 attempts. He He's 19 games into his career.
Fine.
He doesn't have
what,
1,000
yards. I offered you Sterling Shepard for
No, I still wouldn't do that because I'm still trying to sell high on Melvin Gordon. Like I told you, I got Latavius Murray and Amari Cooper for basically Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because Tajae Sharp might get dropped.
That's a good trade. Yeah.
But like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm looking at like, I'm going to go
but
offer.
But are you taking Tevin Coleman over Melvin Gordon?
Do you have Odell Beckham in that league?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
I'm offering you Melvin Gordon for Odell Beckham, but that's the kind of trade you need to be looking to make if you have Melvin Gordon.
Or Amari Cooper, or I would trade Melvin Gordon for Alshon Jeffrey.
Yes.
Okay.
I might, like, it might be a situation where I'd rather trade him for Lamar Miller.
Yeah.
Because you want to talk about
how worried are you guys about Lamar Miller?
I would bet on him being better than Melvin Gordon for the rest of the season.
100%. He's not going to deliver the value for where he was drafted.
Dwayne Brown returned yesterday, their left tackle. That was good. But still, look, you can excuse it against the Vikings, but, man. He's
yeah,
been
if
bad.
If you, the problem is we're screwing it up for all the Melvin Gordon owners out there, because anybody that's listening who doesn't have Melvin Gordon, look, if you believe in Melvin Gordon, go trade for him, because he's going to get 20 touches a game. Like, that's pretty much a fact. It's just.
I like that. I value that.
He's got
really one tough game in the next six.
Tevin Coleman or Melvin Gordon?
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
Okay. So that's, you gotta think of it that way.
Melvin's a solid running back too.
Isaiah Crowell or Melvin Gordon?
Melvin Gordon.
They're gonna be, they're basically two peas in a pod.
You have to look at the schedule with Crowell. I mean.
If Isaiah Crowell was on San Diego, I would probably rather have
him. Oh, I'd much rather. Isaiah Crowell's better than Melvin. Gordon faces the Broncos in two of his next three games.
Right, and then what? Is it good after that?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's not, he doesn't get to play the four worst defenses in the NFL back to back to back to back.
Well, I guess if it's Tennessee, then Miami, then a bye. Then at Houston, no, it's not great.
Tennessee's not terrible against the
Rams. They're sixth in fantasy points without a running backs. It's probably a little deceiving, but.
Yeah.
Alright, so.
My last loser was Alshon Jeffrey. The target volume hasn't been there for him this season. He's been like 6 to 8 targets per game, which is not what we were hoping for. Brian Hoare seems to be looking for any excuse to throw it to anybody but him, including like Zach Miller.
Okay.
Squeak.
That's fine.
Wheel. It's very strange. Hoyer's just not a good quarterback. I mean, that's the thing. He can actually put up good fantasy numbers, and he's probably underowned.
Yeah.
But he's just. He lost he didn't lose them the game. That play, though, was really bad. That last play. He could have won the game.
He's a backup quarterback for a reason.
My losers are Kenneth Dixon and Wendell Smallwood, who I talked about, but also CJ Anderson. Now,
garbage.
This team, he's not garbage.
He's looking a little Melvin Gordon-y.
Yeah, right now he is. What about, okay, this is what CJ Anderson did last year. Oh, crap. I had the stat, now I lost it. I remember off the top of my head. First five games last year was something like 3.5 yards per carry. The last nine games last year was like 6.
Yeah, he led the. I'm pretty sure he led the NFL in yards per carry after week 9 or something like that.
Yeah, so but, I know he's a good player. He is not garbage. He did it. He did it his rookie year, and he did it last year as well.
Yeah, he'll be better than he's been for the last four games, where he's averaging 3.1 yards per attempt.
It was 2.7 yards per carry in his first six games last year, and then 6.4 in his last nine.
You wonder what's happened to him, partially at least. Is Devontae Booker's playing a lot more. He played about 10% of the snaps in week 1 when Anderson was really, really good. Then he was about 20% in week 2. And then the next 2 weeks, he's around 25%. And then this week, he was 40%.
That sucks, but I will tell you what I think is even a bigger deal here. Tyson Brilow, their starting right tackle yesterday, he was playing hurt and he was awful. They have been without Donald Stevenson, who should be their starting right tackle, and their tight end, Virgil Green. Those two guys have been very important in the running game, and their absence has really hurt, because it's not like Devontae Booker is going out there and tearing it up or anything like that. He's been a little bit better than CJ Anderson, I think. Maybe that's kind of a week-to-week thing.
And that's also...
But Anderson's the touchdown guy. Like,
that's also...
I'm cool with
sometimes
CJ
backup
Anderson.
Running backs look better in smaller roles.
Yes,
I agree. You can come into in a passing role and get a draw and pick up 8 yards. It doesn't actually mean you were all that good.
Before the game, their offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison, said that their offensive line technique wasn't good enough. Their hand placement, their footwork. So I think it's an offensive line problem personally. Yesterday, and Paxton Lynch would be bad for CJ Anderson because he's not ready yet. He got sacked like 6 times yesterday.
His pocket awareness is not good.
But Simeon should be back on Thursday at San Diego. That's a good opportunity for Anderson. If they can get Green or Stevenson and Simeon back, let's say two of those three, I think it sets up pretty well for him.
I would trade Melvin Gordon for C.J. Anderson.
Definitely starting C.J. Anderson this week.
I think that's realistic. I think you could pull that off. Not in every league.
I think I'd ask for more.
All right, but I'd accept that. I'd still be fine with it, even if I couldn't.
As the Melvin Gordon owner, I'm still asking for more.
Yeah, well, you've got like 4 days left.
That's fine.
Here are some interesting notes here. Every Cleveland quarterback is hurt, so they're in trouble. They're at Tennessee. You might want to pick up the Titans defense. Adam Gase said Ryan Tannehill will be the Dolphins quarterback for the rest of the season. Now, they played without two offensive linemen. Their offensive line stinks.
They stink.
But he's, Tannehill.
I mean, the thing is, the Dolphins offensive line should be good at pass blocking. They've got like 9 offensive tackles starting for them.
But Benny Cunningham, by the way, he didn't play yesterday and he got hurt in week 4. And that has helped Todd Gurley be more of a factor in the passing game. So if Cunningham comes back in week 6 at Detroit, you might not see the pass game production from Gurley. Tyler Eifert has a chance to play this week, according to Adam Schefter. Some offensive line injuries. Nick Mangold for the Jets. Brandon Fusco missed almost the entire game for Minnesota. They have a bye, though. That's good news. Dwayne Brown returned, as I mentioned, Houston's left tackle. Miami without two players yesterday. The Baltimore offensive line lost offensive tackle Rick Wagner, and he was replacing, or I don't know if he's replacing, but they were already without a tackle, Ronnie Stanley. The Rams lost their right guard in their opening possession, and the Cowboys got Tyron Smith back. Some defensive injuries. The Rams got beat up. They played without 3 players. Defensive ends Robert Quinn and William Hayes, and defensive tackle Michael Brocker. So you saw the 150 yards from McCoy. Was not a tough matchup for him. Not to say he's bad, but just wasn't.
How annoying was that, though? He has that 53-yard run on the first drive, right? And then Mike Gillisley gets the...
6-yard touchdown?
Yeah, that's so annoying.
Tremaine Johnson left with an ankle injury. That's the Rams cornerback, so rough day for them. Haloti Ngata, Detroit's defensive tackle, he left with a shoulder injury, and they got the Rams coming to town in week 6. Cameron Hayward could be out a while for Pittsburgh. So, you know, if Hayward's out, I don't know what the deal is with Shazier, but their run defense might not be as good. They're at Miami this week, or next week.
So it doesn't really matter.
No. Give Ajayi credit. If he hadn't had that touchdown call back. David Harris, Jets linebacker, left with a hamstring. Baltimore linebacker, CJ Mosley, hamstring injury. Dallas defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence returned, and he made a difference. I don't think he got any sacks, but he played pretty well from what I saw, and I think that was part of the reason why Dalton didn't play as well as we thought he might. Joey Bosa had 2 sacks if you're in an IDP league. He made his NFL debut. He had 2 sacks at Oakland. Oakland had the ball for like 36 minutes in that game, so sack opportunities. Bosa's got the Broncos on Thursday. And Houston mentioned this, but Jonathan Joseph and Quinton Demps, they both left, and they all were already playing without Kareem Jackson, so their secondary was banged up, and the Giants' secondary banged up again as they faced the Ravens in week 6. Eli Apple, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, 2 cornerbacks, left early with groin injuries. All right, so we can go through the games really quickly here. Hot takes on the games. Detroit 24, Philadelphia 23. Hot take it.
Theoretic looked pretty good yesterday.
Really disappointed in Zach Ertz.
Yeah, the Lions, they didn't give up a lot of yards to touchdowns, but they gave up a lot of touchdowns to tight ends. But they gave up a lot of touchdowns, which really didn't set up well for Zach Ertz.
And this was a perfect game script for him, with them trailing almost the entire game. Listen, I think the Eagles' defense and Carson Wentz both blown out of proportion in the first 3 weeks of the year. They're both good, but not great.
It was nice to see Wentz had 20 fantasy points in a kind of a down game. So at least he got you that, and they're at Washington this upcoming week. You don't have to drop him, right?
Yeah, I think he's in that like,
Eli Manning range.
Worth owning, worse than Eli Manning, but yeah.
Minnesota 31 and Houston 13. This was a blowout. We talked about Thielen. Kyle Rudolph had a bad game.
Really?
Houston, by the way, they have now held Travis Kelce, Martellus Bennett, Delanie Walker, and Kyle Rudolph to a combined 9 fantasy points over the last 4 weeks. They look to be the tight end stoppers right now.
The Vikings numbers against wide receivers. It's like
amazing.
It's like Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins, Jordy Nelson, and someone else have
Kelvin
like,
Benjamin, 0
like,
catches.
Yeah, they have like 90 yards in 4 games between them. It's crazy.
I mean, Hopkins, garbage time touchdown. He saved you. He saved you if you...
Brock Osweiler is not good.
No, he looks awful. Buy low on both of these running backs, but I wouldn't necessarily buy low on Hopkins or Fuller.
Depends how low on Hopkins.
Right.
Like, if the guy in your league is, like, starting to sit DeAndre Hopkins, I'll put him in the
offer. He's a top 15 guy the rest of the way.
Washington 16, Baltimore 10. People want to know if they should drop DeSean Jackson, who's had two big games and three bad ones. This wasn't a great game for him because of the wind.
Right.
So you got to figure that probably hurt the downfield passing.
We're like one DeAndre Hopkins or DeSean Jackson good game away from what we pretty much expected.
This is the DeSean Jackson experience.
Yeah.
Right. Could come this week against Philadelphia, right? Yeah, Philadelphia at home.
I would not drop him for Sammy Coates.
No?
Nope.
No, I think I would.
Sammy Coates is aspiring to be DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, but DeSean Jackson has Kirk Cousins throwing the ball. Sammy Coates has Ben Roethlisberger.
Sammy Coates has Antonio Brown taking targets.
That's fine, but we've seen this is the one thing that what have we consistently seen with Ben Roethlisberger is he's got, you know, the number one wide receiver, and then he's got that deep threat that always seems to play well.
I don't know if I can say consistently because we hadn't seen anybody over the last couple of years do it besides
Martavis Bryant 2 years
right,
in a row.
Besides Martavis, when he was out, nobody else, it wasn't like they were just automatically.
They lost Mike Wallace, 4 years ago? They're Coates, basically 1 year where they didn't have that guy.
Coates is obviously their second best pass. Bell is.
I don't know if he's their
second.
He might be their best. He might be their worst pass catcher.
Right, that's
in terms
true.
Of the ability to actually.
He's
catch
better
the
than
ball.
Wheaton. He's better yes. than James. He's better than Hayward Bay. He's clearly the number two receiver.
He's been consistent this season.
Right. I don't think he's had a game of less than 50 yards. Mm-hmm. That he kind of has a pretty high floor.
Yep.
Is that a high floor? That's a high floor for a waiver wire guy.
I don't feel good about dropping DeSean Jackson because I still think he's probably going to end up with over 1,000 yards, probably close to 8 touchdowns because that's what he does every year. But I do really want Sammy Coates on my team.
Matt Jones or Terrence West rest of season? West's schedule, he took advantage of some good matchups recently. It's about to get a lot harder for him at the Giants, at the Jets, by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'd probably go Jones. I feel more confident that Jones is a starting running back the rest of the year.
Did fumble. Second fumble of the year. And that was a big problem for him last
year. That's been an issue
year.
For him, I think, in college, too.
Yeah, I didn't know your South Florida college.
Matt Jones
is a
poor man's Melvin Gordon, right? Is that fair to say? It's like not good, but he's going to get his opportunities.
At least Gordon's in the passing game, though.
Yeah, I'd rather have Matt Jones. But
than West?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, when I said South Florida sports, I meant like actual South Florida, not the University of South Florida. I know Matt Jones did not go there. He went to FAU, right?
No, UF.
Yeah, I went to UF.
That's not even South Florida.
I'm thinking of Alfred Morris. I'm sorry.
No.
He went to FAU.
Yeah.
Right? He went to FAU. Sorry about that. Of course, Matt Jones.
I mean, we all get FAU and UF confused. Strong
football powerhouses.
Strong historical legacies in college football. It makes sense.
New England 33, Cleveland. I did not even put their score here in the notes. Did they? Who cares?
13.
Okay, 13.
I believe they missed an extra point.
Does anyone care? How do you feel about Terrell Pryor?
I'm in a really bad situation right now because I.
Are you okay?
In our team quarterback league.
Oh.
I have the Cleveland Browns as my only quarterback.
Who did you pick them over?
I think the Bears.
Yeah, that was it. Not looking good.
No, but the problem is now that Charlie Whitehurst is hurt as well, Terrell Pryor is their only healthy quarterback, but he's in the system as a wide receiver, so I don't even get quarterback points for him.
Well, he's 94% on 57%.
He's had one good game.
Yeah, but he caught a touchdown last week. He's got a 2-point conversion this week.
He's not someone I feel great about starting.
Yeah.
He's a borderline number two. If you have a number two and a flex, you're probably starting him.
Would you drop Pryor for Coates?
No.
I think I'd feel more confident starting Coates.
Would you drop Pryor for Hogan?
No.
I would drop Pryor for Coates, I think. Am I going crazy here with Coates? Are you trying to reel?
No,
I think Chris is going crazy for Coates.
I don't think
he's
I don't
cuckoo
think,
for Coates.
I just you probably have somebody better to drop than Terrell Pryor. You probably have somebody better to drop than a wide receiver who's getting, you know, this week accepted, at least 7 targets in each game, 6 in each game so far.
I think he got a decent dose of Malcolm Butler in this game. I know he caught the 2-point conversion on Butler. They didn't show too much of this game on Red Zone. By the way, I shouldn't say this. I'm gonna say it anyway. You ready? Freedom of speech. NFL Network Red Zone better than DirecTV Red Zone.
I've never watched DirecTV Red Zone.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday at my parents' house.
I don't know. I don't know the difference. Maybe I have. I don't know.
I mean, they have different hosts.
Which one's on Comcast?
NFL Network. Obviously, if you don't have DirecTV, you don't get DirecTV Red Zone.
What's wrong? I enjoy the DirecTV Red Zone.
Oh, I enjoy the hell out of it. Have you ever seen the NFL Network Red Zone? It's just slightly better.
They're both great. I don't think it is.
You like DirecTV?
I really am a big fan of DirecTV and all that they do for us.
I don't think DirecTV has the touchdown compilation at the end.
And yeah,
the
NFL they do.
They do?
Yep.
I must have missed it then.
Yeah. I think maybe you just did a bad job of watching football yesterday.
dude, I was exhausted. I was really struggling to stay awake. There were definitely like some occasional 5-minute naps.
Okay, so maybe that has something to do with why.
No, because I felt that way. This is not the first time.
I kept missing all these plays. I just wake up and they already
happened. I missed Cole Beasley's touchdown. How did Cole Beasley score? It was like a 16-yard touchdown.
Yeah, he caught a pass and ran into the end zone.
It was
I think he caught it in the end zone.
Oh, he did?
I thought he got it like the 2.
Eh. Cole Beasley's the best. Colts 29, Bears 23. We spent a lot of time on this game, but you know what I love? T.Y. Hilton has the second most targets in football, right behind Antonio Brown. 56 to 55, I think, something like that.
I believe he's the only player in the NFL with at least 9 targets in each game.
He's got 10 or 11 like every
game. You can drop Phil Dorsett for
sure. He's the only player with double-digit targets in each game. That's what it is.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton's awesome.
Yeah, I was a little wrong on him.
South Florida stand up.
He's been great.
FIU.
FIU. Anything else from this game? I think we're good, right?
Dwayne Allen, right after we decided to drop him. But you don't want to go pick him up for this week.
It was Texans. It was a Dwayne Allen game.
They
had 6
Texans?
Catches for 50 yards.
You don't want to be against Texans. Pittsburgh 31, the Jets 13. Matt Forte, 12 carries, 53 yards, not bad, but 3 straight games with 6 or fewer fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. And he doesn't even catch the ball. Bilal Powell does that now, and Powell's 47% owned.
Yeah, that's weird, because Matt Forte is historically a fantastic pass catcher.
He's pretty good at catching the ball. Yeah.
It's weird that D'Angelo Williams only got 1 carry.
I dropped D'Angelo Williams, and you know what? I'm tired of people telling me, you can't drop D'Angelo Williams. You can't drop Spencer Ware. I'm sorry, like, D'Angelo, you can drop. You don't want to, because you know what his potential is if Bell gets hurt, but if you have to, you can.
Yeah.
Ware, I kind of want to see Jamaal Charles succeed first, but if Jamaal Charles is great in week 6, you can drop Spencer Ware, unless he has a role. Like, I want to see. Quincy Enunwa, are we done with him?
No.
Okay, good. Tennessee 30, Miami 17. Yeah, all right, moving on. Devontae Parker, you know, he's actually not been that bad, right? Like, 3 of his last 4 games, at least 7 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues.
That's the bar now.
It's a worth owning bar.
I'd rather have Sammy Coates
than Parker. The Dolphins just have to get the damn ball. 23 minutes of possession. You're not going to have any good players. It's going to be tough anyway. Buffalo 30, St. Louis 19. Does it matter to you that Robert Woods had a touchdown? Oh, it was an almost touchdown yesterday because he caught one. He was just out of bounds.
I think he had a second almost touchdown where Tyrod Taylor missed him wide open streaking down the field.
Does it make a difference? Because, like, you know, Woods is, do I have his ownership here? He's 46% owned. Could add a touchdown in this game. People would be kind of excited about that.
This is the annoying thing is that before the game, I was thinking Robert Woods and Chris Hogan were owned both in 46% and 47% of leagues, I believe.
Right.
And I was thinking I'd much rather have Robert Woods. And now, because Chris Hogan caught 4 passes.
I think I'd still rather much have Robert Woods.
No, give me Hogan.
I mean, Robert Woods' ownership is definitely going down, and Chris Hogan's is definitely going up, so you have to add Chris Hogan. But it wouldn't surprise me if Robert Woods was better
this
season.
Maybe Woods. But this is kind of what happened last year in the 3 games that Watkins missed. Woods had 1 big game. Clay had 1 big game, which was yesterday for him, 5 for 73. I can't remember what happened in the 3rd game. It might have been running back Carlos Williams. Oakland 34, San Diego 31. Anything here?
Sell Melvin Gordon. Sell Melvin Gordon.
Travis Benjamin fumbled again. I don't know what the heck is that. This team is ridiculous. They missed a field goal to lose this game. Another bad fumble from Melvin Gordon himself.
They didn't miss the field goal, right? They fumbled the snap.
They fumbled the snap.
Not all three. Williams and Benjamin need to be owned. I don't feel good starting either one of them. Give me Sammy Coates over both.
Dontrell Inman, by the way. Wait, Coates over Benjamin?
Yeah.
Interesting. You said a 100-yard game.
One more thing on this game. Sell Melvin Gordon.
Okay. Atlanta 23.
And Dontrell Inman, it was a 1-game thing. Yeah, he's only been targeted in that offense in 1 game.
Atlanta 23, Denver 16. Any other thoughts on this game?
Denver offensive line looked bad.
Yeah, they were bad, no doubt.
Just happy to see Demaryius score.
Rushing defense hasn't been great this season, I don't think.
Who?
Denver's.
You know, it's been inconsistent. They did a good job against Jonathan Stewart. They did a great job against Charles Sims. Jeremy Hill's best game, like 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, was against Denver, and they weren't great here. So it's been a little inconsistent. Dallas 28, Cincinnati 14. Bryce Butler had a touchdown call back in the first quarter. Brandon LaFell caught 2 touchdowns in garbage time. Why aren't people telling me how much better AJ Green is than Odell Beckham now? Right? I mean,
he's had a very up and down season. AJ Green, he's had two really good games.
No one ever said that AJ Green was better than Odell Beckham.
Oh, you didn't. You're not on my Twitter. Yeah. A lot of people said
we
that.
Basically just said that he's the same. He's in the same class.
Yeah, right. I understand that was most.
I have noticed there is like a bubbling like Odell Beckham isn't actually that good movement going on Twitter right now, which is dumb.
So we're moving on to the Giants game, right? Because I have a question.
Green Bay
about this.
23. Oh, I put the Giants.
He made up
here.
with the kicking net, by the way.
Yeah, you saw that. That was very funny.
I don't think it is.
Well, then you have the kicking net.
Yeah, I don't think it is at all.
Oh, come on, Dad.
No.
Oh, respect the game.
Not respect the game. I don't care about that. I like fun a lot, but your whole problem, according to your team and everybody's talking about, it, is your sideline outbursts.
Many people are talking about.
You're kind of joking about that, but more importantly, you're going over to hug a kicking net in the fourth quarter of a game that you're obviously going to lose.
They were
down by 7.
They were down by 7 with like 2.5 minutes left. It was a big.
He wasn't on kickoff coverage or anything.
Yeah,
they did have him for a punt return.
I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was kind of putting it
game.
All to bed.
It doesn't have anything to do with respect to game.
Hey, by the way, you know what? You give me a hard time about all my Giants stuff. I said Bobby Rainey is not a bad guy to get if you need a running back this week if you're desperate. And what did he get? He got 6 catches for 52 yards. That's 2 straight games with 6 or 7 catches. And 22 rushing.
Yeah, Orleans Dark was not involved in the passing game, so yeah.
He's Shane Vereen. So yeah. I'm not saying that Bobby Rainey is a must add or anything, but if you're in a PPR league or any type of deep league, 9% owned, he might get you 5 catches.
Western Kentucky stand up.
Maybe he'll average about 4 catches a game.
Devontae Adams was pretty good.
I started him. I had a feeling. Well, first of all, I thought Rodgers was going to throw 5 touchdowns in this game. So I just thought Devontae Adams was going to have a big game. But he also possibly was at fault for one of Rodgers' interceptions.
Yeah. Oh, he's not particularly good, but he had a nice game.
Is he I don't even know what to ask because he's probably about 50-ish percent owned.
19.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
There
he is, 19% owned.
I think I'd rather have Hogan.
8 targets was the most he had this year.
I would rather have Coates than Adams, but I think I'd rather have Adams than Hogan.
Okay.
All right. So
I feel like Hogan is going to be like 100% owned after this week.
Oh, he is.
People are going to way overreact to this.
Whoa,
I just don't know that it's overreacting. He might be the best outside receiver they've had in a long time.
I believe last week he went over 1,000 yards for his career, and he's 28
years old. It doesn't matter. It's Tom Brady.
Who is currently the best outside receiver they've had in a long time?
Randy Moss.
Okay, so since then?
Okay,
that's the thing.
He's probably not as good as Brandon LaFell.
I think he probably is.
We have
better.
Nothing. Oh, see, this is what was frustrating me about this yesterday morning. Because I was there's no reason. If Chris Hogan had signed with the Dolphins, he would be 0% owned.
Well, I think that's
the only reason we think Chris Hogan is good is because the Patriots signed him.
Wasn't Brandon LaFell kind of good 2 years ago?
You know who the Patriots
passed
on?
He had like 950 yards
exactly,
for the
Patriots.
Exactly,
that's what you're hoping for.
Right, but I'm saying, if he can be Brandon LaFell, fine. I'm not sure he's better than Brandon
LaFell.
Wasn't
Hogan good last year?
For the Bills?
No.
He's never had more than 450 yards receiving.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's the opportunity here. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, yes, he
can't
is.
He be Brandon LaFell from 2 years ago?
Sure.
That's all. That's
but
what I'm saying.
But he might also be the fourth option in the passing game most weeks.
Am I forgetting a wide receiver for the Patriots?
No.
I mean, they had
Julian Edelman.
Been a big problem for them.
Danny Amendola, Malcolm
since
Mitchell,
Randy Moss,
Brandon Lloyd.
But like, this is the thing. It's
Brandon
like
Lloyd.
Here's what I would say. Like, Danny Amendola before getting to the Patriots was a much better player than Chris Hogan.
All right, guys. I want to do some emails real quick. This is from Will. Should I trade Beckham straight up for Gurley in PPR?
Yes.
You do that? You give up Beckham for Gurley?
Oh, no. I would rather have Beckham. Sorry.
Yeah, me too.
But I would trade Melvin Gordon for Gurley.
This is from Angel. Great trade. 12-team PPR. I'm 2-3. I give up Gronk. I get Charles and Cooper. Give up Gronk. Get Jamal Charles and Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
B+. I like it.
My grade was a yes.
Angry George from California. Is Eli Manning still a top 12 quarterback rest of season?
No.
He's right there.
And here's a grumpy emailer named Shane. He says, "Dear some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath." That's insulting to Chris Dallas.
Well, I know how it is.
Cool.
No, I understand. I get it.
There are a couple of complaints I have observed this Sunday, and I want to know if they are warranted or I'm just being a stickler. One, I'm currently playing the person who has Cam Newton as their quarterback, and they left him in their lineup Sunday until about 7 p.m. In all leagues I've played in previously, all players go on waivers at 1 p.m. on Sunday, no matter when their game starts. But this year, the league has a player goes on waivers at the time that their particular game starts, which makes sense. This person at 7 p.m. on Sunday picked up Derek Anderson in order to not score a zero for their starting quarterback. I tend to think that if someone is not paying attention to their lineup before 1 p.m. Sunday, they should just live with the results.
I'm fine with it.
Disagree.
No, yeah, I don't agree, Shane. Second. Regarding, I do agree with him on this one. Regarding team defenses, points are generally awarded to the team defense. You know what? I'm just going to sum it up. He doesn't like when a team defense is dock points when there's like a pick six.
Oh, I disagree. I think.
So if you, in other words, if you have the Patriots DST and the Browns get a pick six, it takes points away from the Patriots.
Yeah, that
DST.
Shouldn't
hate
hurt
that.
The Patriots DST.
It shouldn't. That's, right?
Should just play IDP.
No, you shouldn't. IDP, no. You shouldn't do that. Shane, we disagree with number one. We agree with number two. And we're out of here for our Monday podcast. Good to be back, everybody. Sorry last week was so crazy, but we all survived the hurricane, and we hope that all of you on the East Coast did as well. For Heath Cummings and Chris Towers, I don't mean like survive, like physically survive. I mean,
long live the hurricane shield.
Which is what? What's the hurricane
Heath hasn't
shield?
Talked about this?
No, but we'll hear about that tomorrow. Okay, goodbye.